Hello and welcome to this AAT podcast on assertiveness. The objective of this podcast is to explore the knowledge and skills which underpin the ability to 1. Identify a communication approach that is helpful, positive and straightforward rather than aggressive or submissive. 2. Establish some simple approaches to positively influencing others. 3. Appreciate the importance of giving and receiving feedback effectively. 4. Using assertive behaviours in a range of situations. And 5. Communicate a point of view effectively whilst acknowledging one's own and others' rights and responsibilities. Let us start by looking at how to positively influence others. Take a moment to think about what positively influences you about other people. Think of a person that has a positive effect on you. This may be someone from your professional or personal world, past or present. List 3 qualities or things about them that you like. We'll come back to your list in a minute. We all need to influence many different people during our personal and working lives. It is important to think about the most appropriate way to influence in each case. This means giving consideration to the situation and the person you are trying to influence, rather than always relying on your most comfortable style or approach. A good influencer will be flexible in their approach. The following list shows some of the qualities that we generally like to be displayed by people we deal with. Which of them could you improve upon? Good active listening skills. A good sense of humour. A strong sense of commitment and values. Approachability and flexibility. Assertive and forthright communication. Showing care and consideration for others. Being fair and objective, friendly and polite. Being clear and articulate. Well prepared and organised. Open and honest. Well informed and showing confidence. Positive and enthusiastic. Now look back at your list. Were any of the points you wrote down on the list which I just read out? I bet they were, or at least something similar. The fact of the matter is that we are all positively influenced by very similar things. The old saying, "do as you would be done by," has a lot of meaning to it. So, if you want to have a positive effect on others, you could do a lot worse than display some of these qualities a little more often. Why not replay that list and notice how some of the things you do naturally and comfortably most of the time, and perhaps some others that you don't do so often? How would it be if you did some of those things a little more, I wonder? The first thing on the list was listening skills. And according to most theory on this subject, it is the ability to listen and, more importantly, to demonstrate to the other person that you are listening, which has the most positive effect on another individual. So how are your listening skills? Take a moment to think about the following questions and perhaps make a few notes. What are the barriers to listening? How can you show that you are really listening non-verbally? How can you show that you are really listening verbally? Let's look at how to demonstrate good listening. First of all, non-verbal listening skills. Let's start by looking at body posture and gestures. It is important to maintain an open and relaxed body posture, using subtle gestures to support our understanding of what the other person is saying. Remember, however, to try and match your actions with the tone of the conversation in order to achieve empathy. Facial expressions. Smiling and nodding can be very encouraging to the speaker, as can other expressions to match the tone and the content of the other person's words. Eye contact. Maintaining eye contact is a good way to show that you are listening and interested in the other person. Eye contact should be regular, but not a fixed stare, of course. Now for verbal listening skills. Words. Think carefully about the words you choose when responding. Using the type of words and the vocabulary that the speaker has used can be a very, very powerful way of showing empathy and establishing a connection with them. Tone and volume. Try to maintain even tone and volume and acknowledge the other person's feelings with your words. Pauses. If you are speaking, you can't listen. So allow enough pauses to let the other person speak and for you to digest what they have said. Clarification. Ask questions to clarify points and obtain more information or probe deeper. Summarising and paraphrasing. This not only reassures the other person that you have been listening, but also helps you to be sure that you have understood and captured their key points. There is a lot more to effective listening than simply using your ears. Effective listening implies using all of our senses as well as our bodies in order to demonstrate that listening is actually taking place. There is an old saying which goes, "A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard." Why can't we all be like that old bird? There is sometimes a confusion between the difference of assertive, aggressive, and passive communication. Very often, people who tend to communicate more aggressively will think that they are being assertive. And people who are communicating more passively will almost want to be a little bit more aggressive in their communication. Assertiveness is actually something in between, but can sometimes be a little bit confusing to identify. So in order to establish what assertive behaviour actually is like, let us look at some of those different types of behaviour first. Aggressive behaviour. When we are behaving aggressively, we might sound like this. It would never have happened if you'd... So we get into blaming others. Or, that spreadsheet has to be finished by the end of the week or else. We get into giving orders or making threats. Haven't you sorted that out yet? Asking somewhat threatening questions. You must be joking. Rather dismissive of others. This manual is useless. Stating our opinion as fact. I'm sure you'll all agree that... Speaking for others. You have to... Making decisions for others. What about passive behaviour? When we are behaving passively, we might sound like this. Oh, you know me, I'm useless at that. Putting ourselves down. I'm very sorry to trouble you, but... Apologising for ourselves unnecessarily. I wouldn't normally ask this, it's just that... Justifying ourselves unnecessarily. I wonder if I could talk to you about taking some holiday. Stumbling and hesitating. I'd like to have got into town today as I had some urgent things to do, but I don't have the car available, so I suppose I won't be able to go, but giving indirect messages by hinting and rambling. Well, it's only my opinion, but playing down our own views. So what I wonder are the effects of these aggressive or passive types of behaviours. Let's look at the aggressive type of behaviour first. In the short term, you might win and the other person might lose. You might lose and the other person might win. You might regret your actions. You might feel better for venting your feelings. The other person might become aggressive back with you. The other person might admire your strength. The other person might feel angry or hurt. In the long term, the effect of continuous aggressive communication might make you lead to be feeling guilty. It might make you apologise profusely or become overhelpful as a result and a counteraction. You might blame others for your aggression. You might become very drained. You might become isolated. You might get lots of things done. You might also get high blood pressure. The other person might withdraw from you. The other person might become resigned to accept you. They might even look up to you. They might start to take the initiative less. They might also leave. How about passive behaviour? The short-term effect of the passive approach is that you might feel less anxious. You might feel sorry for yourself. You might feel very pleased with yourself that you've been so helpful. You might feel relieved that you didn't have to say no. The other person might think you are really helpful. Or they might think you're a pushover. They might feel sorry for you. They might feel guilty for taking advantage of you. Or they might feel indifferent towards you. In the long term, the passive approach to communication means that you might lose your self-esteem and confidence. You might find it even harder to be more assertive. You might appear to be very popular. Or you might feel angry, hurt, resentful, or self-pitying. You might suffer from tension or headaches. And the other person might be irritated by you. They might respect you less. They might be very pleased with your flexibility and helpfulness. Or they might avoid contact with you. So what is assertiveness? Assertiveness is something in between. Just for a moment, imagine a pendulum. And on one side, when the pendulum is pulled to the left, we have a very aggressive form of behaviour. If you let the pendulum go and it swings across to the other side, we have a very passive form of behaviour. This swinging from one side to another is actually a very, very natural way for humans to communicate. It's what we call the fight or flight syndrome. If you think back to the times of cavemen, when a caveman was attacked by a wild animal, it had a choice. The man would either be aggressive and stand and fight, or if the beast was very, very large and very, very angry and hungry, the caveman might choose to run away. So this swing between aggressive and passive behaviour is a natural form of our communication. However, in the modern world, those extremities aren't so relevant or indeed helpful. Especially in the workplace, we need to try and find something in between. And it is this place in between those extremities that we call assertiveness. In training terms, assertiveness is usually defined as being where we exercise or assert our own rights whilst acknowledging or respecting the rights of others. Let me just say that one more time. Assertiveness is exercising or asserting your own rights whilst acknowledging or respecting the rights of others. So assertiveness has something to do with rights. So what are our rights? We all have a range of public and private rights in our day-to-day life. As far as our working environment is concerned, here are some examples of what a few of those rights might be. We have the right to be treated with respect. We have the right to express our own feelings and opinions. We have the right to be listened to and taken seriously. We have the right to get help from others. We have the right to ask for what we want. We have the right to get information to be able to do our job properly. We also have the right to say no without feeling guilty. We have the right to make mistakes and, of course, learn from them. And we also have the right to choose not to assert ourselves in certain situations. I wonder what your rights are. Take a moment to think about your working environment or your home environment and consider what do you believe your fundamental rights to be. What we also now have to remember is that with each right comes a corresponding responsibility to respect that same right in others. So if you believe you have the right to express your own feelings and opinions, you also have the responsibility to respect the other person's right to do the same. It is this balance between the acknowledgement of rights and responsibilities that creates the pathway for assertive communication. So when we are behaving assertively, we might sound something like this. In my opinion, or in my experience. So then we are speaking for ourselves. I feel, I need, I believe, I want, I'd prefer. Making our own views very clear. I realise this must be frustrating for you. Understanding other people's feelings and situations. Paul, I need to change the start time of the presentation, please. Giving clear and brief messages. Let's look at how we can resolve this, shall we? Working together to solve problems. What do you think? How does that fit in with your schedule? And how do you feel about that? Finding out where others stand on a situation. So assertive behaviour is a very powerful communication. It is intended to achieve effective results. It works to maintain yours and the other person's self-esteem. It uses your energy in a productive and positive way. Assertiveness is about being honest and creating trust. It is about making others feel valued and letting others retain responsibility and control. It is about making others feel that they are contributing and feeling confident in what you are saying also. Assertiveness is about developing and growing yourself, the other person, and the relationship that you have with them. Assertiveness is about making positive changes, taking initiatives, and taking advantage of opportunities. Assertiveness is about taking responsibility for ourselves and how we communicate. It is about maximizing our potential. So we have previously defined assertiveness as the extent to which a person asserts or exercises their own rights whilst acknowledging and respecting the rights of others. In our daily activities, we may encounter a variety of behaviours, ranging from very passive through to assertive, as well as aggressive. In order to behave assertively, we need to become aware of how we currently tend to be perceived by others, which is reflected in both our verbal and non-verbal behaviour. These descriptions below give some examples of those different behavioural types. Passive. Passive communication often implies frequent self-justification, perhaps a more rambling style, not coming to the point, being apologetic, and a dialogue that is peppered with self-criticism. Assertive behaviour, however, is straightforward, taking responsibility for what is said and done, has an ability to criticise without blaming, asking open questions, and a clear separation of fact from opinion. At the other end of the spectrum, aggressive behaviour can often come across as sarcastic, putting others down, opinions being stated as facts, asking leading questions, interrupting others while they are speaking, and speaking and not listening. Take a moment to consider your own preferred style of communication. Notice the language that you use, the tone that you use, and the volume. What type of communication do you think you have been using? Passive, assertive, or aggressive? And what are the steps that you could perhaps take to align your communication in a more assertive way on a more regular basis? Now let's look at how personality, attitude, and behaviour feature in all of this. Imagine three circles, a little bit like a dartboard, and in the middle is your personality. The circle surrounding that is attitude, and the outer circle is behaviour. Looking at that diagram, it may not be a part of our personality to feel naturally assertive all the time. However, we can learn to display assertive behaviours to the outside world. With practice, we can become more confident and comfortable with those behaviours. This, in turn, can positively affect our attitudes towards certain situations, making it easier to behave in an assertive manner on a more regular basis over time. The most relevant situations to arise when being assertive is helpful are when we are either giving or receiving feedback. Let's look at giving feedback. Feedback is the communication of information describing behaviour and its effect. It is the only way that we give people information on how they are doing. Ongoing feedback helps a person know where they stand and what, if anything, they should or could be doing differently. It keeps people on track, provides recognition, and assists learning and development. If we fail to provide feedback, the person will have to guess how they are doing and might guess wrongly. When that happens, we limit opportunities for improvement. Whenever possible, try to give feedback promptly. Don't duck giving feedback or put it off until another time. That can lead to resentment and nasty surprises. A person might respond by saying, "You didn't say anything about that to me at the time." People are more likely to improve if you give them feedback immediately rather than a long time after an event. However, some feedback can be useless, even harmful. Some critical and negative remarks can undermine confidence. Instead of improving performance, they are likely to lead to demotivation and resentment. In order for feedback to be useful and acceptable to someone, you need to make sure that it is understood and accepted, and that the person is capable of acting on it. Giving performance feedback in a constructive way requires skill, understanding, and respect for others. Always keep the impact on the individual in mind. Therefore, you could choose to give feedback with a boost. Let's look at what boost means. The B is for balanced. There is usually room for some improvement in good performance and some good points in overall poor performance. If you praise and acknowledge something that has been done well, you will increase the likelihood of the success being repeated. Equally, you will need to point out where performance falls short. O is for objective. Concentrate on behaviour, not personality. Think back to the dartboard circles a moment ago. Individuals cannot change their personality, but they can alter their behaviour. Counsel them on what they might do differently and never on what sort of person they are. For example, it is more helpful to say to someone, "You need to improve your accuracy when inputting data," than to say to them, "You are very poor at inputting data." O is for owned. Your feedback to someone else should be based on what you actually see or hear the other person do, and the outcome or effect of what they do. Stick to facts, not inference or judgments that cannot be substantiated. This leads on to the S for specific. Give specific examples. Don't talk in generalisations. "That went well" is not as helpful as a more specific description or an example. "You were very thorough in preparing X or Y." Or, "It was particularly helpful when you devised such clear instructions for A or B." T is for timely. Give feedback promptly, while the facts are still easily remembered. Don't put it off. If there is a long gap between the event and the feedback, it is more likely to be rejected as not being of any great importance. By following these simple guidelines, you are likely to have a positive effect on performance rather than provoke a negative emotional reaction. Remember that feedback is for the benefit of the receiver. It should not be a way for you to let off steam for yourself. Let's now look at receiving feedback. Communication is a two-way process, and you may, of course, find yourself on the receiving end of feedback too. Just as there are guidelines for giving feedback, so there are similar ones for receiving it. Prepare yourself by taking a deep breath and breathe calmly. This will help you to relax and be open to the feedback, whether it is positive or negative. Listen. This is the only way to find out what the other person has to say and how they see you or what their point of view is. Take the view that their intention is to be constructive and that you may gain an insight or a useful perspective on your behaviour. Ask questions if you don't understand or need further clarification of detail. For example, "Can I just check what you're saying, that you would have preferred me to have spoken to you before sending an email?" Or, "Please give me an example of when I have ignored your suggestion." Don't defend, tempting though it is, and don't argue either. The person is giving you information about what they have observed and how it has affected them. You may not agree, but arguing at this stage will not necessarily help. If you do, you are likely to discourage them from giving you further information in the future. Acknowledge and thank the person for the feedback, noting all accurate observations that have been made. Recognise that the other person's point of view is important and that you need to listen to it. Reflect upon the feedback and take time to sort out your response. Has anyone said anything similar to you before? Is it positive or negative? What will happen if you ignore this information? How can you use the information positively? And then formulate an action plan and follow it through. Remember that feedback is just information. It is information that is offered to you from someone else's perspective. Once you have listened to that information and taken it on board, you then have the choice to decide what you want to do with that information. Why not practice how you would try and give feedback assertively in some of these situations? Situation number one. You are quite friendly with one of your colleagues and have always worked well together. However, lately, this person has started to take some of your ideas and present them as their own during team meetings where your manager is present. This is upsetting you and you would like to address it with them. How might you do that? What about situation two? A member of the small team that you supervise has recently shown signs of personal neglect. This is troubling you as their job involves personal interface with clients on a very regular basis and it is also very much out of character for them. It is also holding you back from discussing a possible promotion that you had been considering for them. How might you handle that situation? Situation number three. You are very keen to do well in your job and always aim to work hard. However, it seems that it is always you who your manager approaches with requests to stay late to complete last-minute or urgent tasks. This feels unfair to you and is making you feel less enthusiastic about your work. Your appraisal is coming up shortly and you would like to raise this with your manager. How might you do that? Now, having practiced how you might handle one or more of those situations, imagine that you were a fly on the wall, noticing and watching what you did and said. Consider now these questions for yourself. Did your behaviour come across as passive, aggressive, or assertive? What did you say that conveyed that type of behaviour? What did you do that conveyed that type of behaviour? What impact or effect might that behaviour have on that situation and the other person? What could you have done differently? Perhaps you may now want to go back over that situation again and modify your strategy a little further. Now you could also practice with some of these situations or indeed make up some of your own that are perhaps more relevant to you. These examples are about making and refusing requests. The first one, you need to ask one of your team to stay late this evening to help get an important report finished in readiness for the board meeting first thing in the morning. How will you do that? Number two, your manager approaches you with a very urgent task. You are already very busy with your current workload and can't see how you could fit the task in until tomorrow afternoon at least. You want to leave slightly early tonight as it is your anniversary, but still have to photocopy some papers for tomorrow's meeting. You decide to ask your colleague to do it for you. How will you make that request? A friend of yours has asked if they can borrow some of your CDs for a party this weekend. You don't like lending your CDs out to anyone. How do you say this to them? So So let's summarise assertiveness. Many of us are not naturally assertive. However, we can learn to display more assertive behaviour with practice and some guidance. Below are some examples of how assertive behaviour might be displayed in different situations. Gathering information. Ask open questions that allow the person to choose their own response rather than trying to put words into their mouth. Let people speak, express themselves without interruption from you. Don't feel that you need to respond at length to everything the other person says. A brief nod or comment can suffice so that they can continue to share the information required. Assert your right to ask questions, but remember that you may be required to explain why you are asking them. Giving information. Be direct, concise, and get to the point. Don't over-justify what you are saying or load it too heavily with concerns or reservations. Think about how much information to give. Try telling them everything they must know, some of what they might need to know, but not all that they could know. Making requests. Don't beat around the bush. If you think it's appropriate to ask, then ask. If explaining why you are making a request, avoid over-justification. Keep it short and simple and not too long-winded. Avoid manipulating others by playing on their goodwill. Make sure your request stands on its own merits. When faced with a refusal to an important request, seek a proposal that convinces the other person rather than just pushing to get your own way. Acknowledge and accept the other person's right to say no to your request. Refusing requests. Keep it short and simple. Don't ramble or justify excessively. As your reply may be short, make sure that your non-verbal behaviour is assertive and not aggressive. State briefly and concisely what you can and can't do or what you are willing or not willing to do. If pressed, repeat your refusal, slowing down a little and emphasising the important words. Disagreeing. Think about why you disagree and support it with objective data where possible. Don't personalise your disagreement. Disagree with what the person is saying, not with the person saying it. State clearly what it is you disagree with and balance this with any parts where in fact you might concur. Be open-minded. Accept some arguments and change your mind if you are convinced. Acknowledge and respect the other person's right to their view. Before we finish, take a moment to consider some action planning that you might want to pursue now. What are the three most important points that you have learnt during this podcast? What are the three main actions that you might like to take as a result of this podcast in order to modify your strategy for communication a little? When are you going to review your progress on these actions? And how will you practice these actions? And finally, how will you know when you have been successful in achieving those actions? This concludes the podcast on assertiveness. I do hope you found this useful, and thank you very much for listening.